Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode here at the Damage Report on the Young Turks Network. You know who's joining us? Someone who's pretty big at the Young Turks. Anna Kasparian joins us once again. How's it going, Anna?
Hey, what's going on? Really happy to be here.
I'm happy you're here too. You're the good news. The bad news is, as I talked about on my pre-show, I have got a really bad headache. Like a headache that is affecting my head and like all down the back of my neck and everything. And I've had it for days. So I'm gonna do my best on the show. If I don't quite bring it like I normally do, I apologize. I am weak and I'm being bested by my brain. My brain is very powerful and you want it as your ally. You don't want it as your enemy. I've always said, like, people get brain freeze and they think it's bad. Imagine what my brain freeze is like when it gets frosty up in there. Anyway, that's unbearable. Have I given all of you a headache now? Anyway, Anna, always glad to have you here. And especially for today's news, because we're gonna be talking about Ted Cruz, the guy everyone loves to hate. He's like Bart Simpson in that way and in no other ways. So we're gonna talk about Ted Cruz. We've got, let's see, basically every kind of scandal you can imagine when it comes to the coronavirus from both Democratic and Republican governors. We've got Lauren Boebert trying and failing to own the libs on Twitter, as well as Joe Biden doing sort of what we expected he might on some of these big promises he's made. So we're gonna go through all that. And as we do, if you send us messages, tweets, chats, talks, I think they're called, if you talk us, we will respond live. And I also wanna let you know, for our YouTube members, we've got a couple little perks for you. So for members of all levels, you know what we have right now in the emoji variety? We have an Anna Kasparian emoji. So that's gonna be a lot of fun. So you can definitely use that. And for your for the tier three members, after the show, about an hour after the show, we're gonna be doing our second monthly live Q&A. So if you're a level three member, if you become one, you'll be able to engage in that. We'll be talking about a combination of politics and non-political stuff for a bit. And it should be a lot of fun. We had one last month and it was great. Before we launch into this thing, Anna, anything else we need to cover? Anything big happening? Any Charlie related news that I'm not yet up to date on?
I mean, you started the show by talking about your physical state. So I guess I'll also contribute to that because sure. I've been having the worst lower back pain. So I decided that this morning, instead of going for a run, which is probably exacerbating the back issues, I'll do some yoga. But I don't like doing yoga before going on air, because once I'm done, I just wanna like sail away, sail away, sail away. Like I'm just so calm right now. And like we're about to do all these awful stories that I wanna be angry about, but I'm just cool as a cucumber because of yoga. This is my way of saying everyone should be doing yoga. It just de-stresses you, it's amazing.
It's like in like 30 minutes of yoga, you can get the relaxation effect of like a long weekend in Cancun. Is that what you're saying?
It's not even that. Like it does something to my mental state as well. Like I'm just so like calm. Calm is not my usual state of mind. Okay, I'm usually pretty like amped up.
No, you deserve it, Anna.
Yeah.
You deserve it.
I do. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to the show. Let's do it. Let's talk about all these awful governors throughout the country.
Oh my God, we've got so many bad people. It's basically just, wait, every one of these stories is, oh, that person's terrible. Every single one of them. Wow, okay. I mean, I guess that's probably a lot of the show, but that's what it is today. So why don't we start? We're gonna spin the wheel of horrible politicians. And first it's gonna land on a man wearing a ferret in his chin. Okay. Yesterday, early, everybody already hated Ted Cruz. We cruised into Wednesday hating him, but by night, last night, we had a new reason to. When he decided to do one of the most detached, aloof, the peasants can fend for themselves behaviors that I can imagine, when he apparently, this is the theory, flew to Cancun while millions of his constituents are having to boil water. They're literally dying in their cars of methane poisoning because they don't have heat for multiple days. He went off for a nice vacation. Now, it was sort of a rumor at first, and people had to do their own like sleuthing type stuff. David Schuster tweeted out a confirmation at that point that was sort of semi considered confirmed that Ted Cruz was on that plane. And you see the picture there. Now, that could either be Ted Cruz or the least lucky man in America who can credibly pass for Ted Cruz. I feel terrible for that person. But then another person sent this photo, and you can see there that's, I think that's a human. And if it is, it looks like Ted Cruz. But the issue with these photos going around as they were circulating is that we didn't know when they're from. And there have been these sorts of things that have blown up. And then it turns out, sure, it's Ted Cruz at an airport, but it was 3 years ago or something like that. So, and the mystery grew, Anna, because Cruz's Senate office didn't respond to multiple queries seeking comment. His social media pages and official websites made no mention of the photos or of trips. And it took until this morning for it to be confirmed that it was him. And it happened, dagger in the back style, Fox News putting out, they have a source that says that he did fly to Cancun amid all of what's going on. What do you think?
I didn't know that Fox News blew the whistle. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know that it was Fox News, especially because remember, usually the Republican lawmakers that ever face the ire of Fox News and its pro-Trump conservative bias happen to be the Republican lawmakers who are willing to actually call Trump out or criticize him, maybe even vote to impeach him. So it's interesting that Fox is the, you know, news source that confirmed this, considering the fact that Ted Cruz has sacrificed his wife, he sacrificed the country, all to show his undying loyalty to Donald Trump. So I love that wrinkle to the story. But is anyone really surprised? Come on, guys. How many times has the Senate gone on break or recess before they pass desperately needed coronavirus economic relief? I don't care if they're going on recess to just go back home and chill on their lazy, you know, boy recliner.
Lazy boys.
Or if they're, is that what I said?
That's it.
Or if they're, or if they're going to Cancun. To me, it's the same thing. It's a complete abandoning of the American people. And it's absolutely disgusting that the Senate is on recess at all right now, as we're facing multiple crises. But Ted Cruz is just grimier and grosser than most Republican lawmakers. So it does make it a little worse to see him, you know, having this leisurely time while so many people in his state are suffering from this storm.
Exactly. And they are suffering. More than 2.7 million Texans are currently without power. Joe Biden had declared a state of emergency several days ago. Drinking water is limited, which is always what you want to hear about America. And in many areas, boil notice warnings have gone into place, advising that it's not to drink water tap without boiling it first. Houston, which is Cruz's hometown, is under a boil water notice. And KHOU reported that people have taken to draining water out of water heaters and collecting rainwater in order to stay hydrated. So things not going especially well, I guess. Hospitals throughout the state have reported that they're experiencing heat and water issues. And at the extreme cold across the region that has been tied to the deaths of at least 20 people, many Texans have been out without heat for several days. And so that number could go up. So that is the situation that he could have returned to from DC, but decided, Cruzy needs to soak a little hot tub. Get a little bit of like a Mai Tai action. That's what Cruzy needs. And that's what he decided to do. And look, as you point out, it's not like he's the only one that's disconnected, but they're all disconnected from the pandemic. He's disconnected from that and the crisis in his state. And he decided to go on like a tropical vacation. That is just, even in America, where the bar for our politicians is buried like 10 feet from the center of the earth. You can't do that much all at once. That's too much.
Well, John, remember, there aren't very many countries that Americans can travel to because of complete travel bans as a result of our unique disastrous way of handling the coronavirus pandemic. So maybe he had no choice but to go to Mexico, which is one of the few countries that's allowing people to go in. But it doesn't matter. I mean, again, at the end of the day, we're talking about multiple crises happening simultaneously in this country. No lawmaker should be on break, and no lawmaker should be, you know, catching some rays in Cancun. Like, he needs to be here, but more importantly, Senate needs to be in session. And the fact that they took a break before passing coronavirus relief is just incredibly infuriating. Texas is under a state of emergency. Cruz demanded that Joe Biden declare a state of emergency for the state of Texas. And Biden didn't even hesitate. He did it immediately. That was the right thing to do. But for Cruz to just check out after that is horrendous. Absolutely horrendous.
Well, phase one is declaring a state of emergency. Phase two is getting crunk. That's what he was doing. He just wanted to like limbo, you know? That's what he wanted. He wanted some nice nachos.
Do the cool kids still say the word crunk? I feel like
whether
maybe
they do or not, I wouldn't
stay
know.
Away from that.
But anyway, he probably does. I'm about as cool as Ted Cruz. And so he's getting a lot of criticism. But Ted Cruz did go to Cancun, and so now it's time to dunk on him. And the dunking is coming from a couple different directions, and even what I consider to be sort of reverse dunks, which is the defensive Ted Cruz. That just makes him look worse and adds more people to like the basically the social media firing line that's going on right now. So first of all, here is a tweet that he sent out low 2 days ago, saying in response to his tweets mocking California's power outage, saying, "I got no defense. A blizzard strikes Texas and our state shut down. Not good. Stay safe." Now, what he left off, I assume because he ran out of characters, was peace out, because 2 days later he decided, man, it is really not good here. I'm gonna go. I'm going south for the winter. So that happened. Little like fun details, like that apparently his office called the Houston Police Department to help him get out of the Houston airport because they were so worried about enraged constituents. Here, this is Jake Sherman tweeted this out. And this was one of the pieces of evidence that he had gone to Cancun, was when he apparently was in an emergency flying back as fast as he could. And as of this, had yet to make it on the upgrade list to United Business. Rafael Cruz was still waiting on standby for that. So that's like,
man,
I got this crisis. I got to get back, but I still want to be comfortable.
I gotta say, every time Jake Sherman makes news or gets any attention, I gotta mention that he just knows all the hot goss. Like, that's what he spends all of his time doing, looking for the hot goss, and he delivers on a regular basis. It's kind of incredible. It's always some like, you know, Scaramucci said something awful story, or I know he's not the one who broke that, I don't think, at least. But he always not has sure. like juicy details of gossipy things, and it's kind of amazing.
Yeah. Someone in the chat is like, what's wrong with going to Texas during winter weather? Okay. he's one of the leaders. Like, he's supposed to be helping. Anyway. Okay, I love this. We're not gonna do a lot of the memes or whatever, but this Playa del Bad Ideas, putting Ted Cruz on the beach with Chris Christie, which he did while, you know, there was all those transportation issues and all that. But then we get into other stuff that's been going on. So we don't have the graphic for this, but back in December of last year, Ted Cruz tweeted this, hypocrites, complete and utter hypocrites. And don't forget that Mayor Adler, who took a private jet with 8 people to Cabo, and while in Cabo recorded a video telling Austinites to stay home if you can, this is not the time to relax. So he was dunking on these political leaders during the pandemic, fleeing for fun tropical vacations. And like 2 months later, he's like, I have this idea. Where did this come from? Whatever, I'm just gonna do it. So that's fun. We've got a guest on Newsmax saying that Ted Cruz, quote, may have a better opportunity to communicate and get things done remotely than in Texas.
Oh, come
No, Anna, that's why he went to Cancun, was better Zoom quality. This is Newsmax.
Come on, guys. Come on. Do you watch news? Does anyone watch Newsmax and really take them seriously? Come on. He might be better communicating while he's sunbathing in Cancun. What are you talking about? It's I hate the news cycle. Like I hate what politics has become. I hate what the news has become. It's just every day they're insulting our intelligence, guys. Every day. And people eat it up. Anyway, sorry, John.
You want to talk about insults to our intelligence? Wait until you hear what Dinesh D'Souza had to say about this. What could Ted Cruz do if he were here in Texas? I'm hard pressed to say. If he's in Cancun, that means he's not using up valuable resources of energy, food, and water that can now be used by someone else. This is probably the best thing he could do for the state right now. And by the way, that's dumb for a million different reasons. But if you're saying that the best thing a politician could do is get out of the country because you're not helping here, that is not a defense of the politician. You might think it is, but it's really something else.
They will find an excuse and they will twist the reality, revise history. It doesn't matter how ridiculous their angle is, they will find a way to do it. It doesn't matter how insulting it is, they will find a way to do it. But they have followings. Like, that's the thing that really gets to me, because for all that we hear about like living in our own ideological bubbles and all of that, I just have a hard time believing that there's an ideological bubble that makes you so irrational and so full of self-hatred that you would hear an argument like that and think, yes.
Got it.
Yes.
Nailed
it. This is actually very good for me, as me and my family are left in the cold without power or safe, clean drinking water. This is good.
Yeah.
I mean, no one thinks that, right? How is Dinesh D'Souza still a thing? He's a convicted felon. Have some self-respect, people, please. Anyway, keep going. God.
Ted Cruz won re-election. Like, this is who he always was. Anyway, George Takei tweeted, in fairness, AOC booked him the flight to Cancun. It's really her fault, which is funny because obviously everything's her fault. But she responded to that. If Senator Cruz had resigned back in January after helping gin up a violent insurrection that killed several people, he could have taken his vacation in peace. Texans should continue to demand his resignation, but don't blame me for this. My points are on Amtrak, which is good. That's good. And my final point on this is, going to Cancun during multiple crises like this is insane. She should definitely be recalled, or it's insane. But it is weird that, like, I feel like he is getting more social media pushback for this than all of his involvement in the election with the Capitol riots, the attempt to decertify the vote, and all of that. Like that's worse, I think. I think that's worse.
Yeah.
But America seems to believe that this is worse, actually.
Well, I mean, I think it hits people differently, right? Because those who tend to kind of dismiss the severity of what happened in the nation's capital are people who lean to the right, Trump supporters, and there are quite a few of those people in Texas. And so they might not have felt personally impacted by what happened in the Capitol, even That's though true. It has an impact on all of our lives, right? I mean, that starts to deteriorate whatever we have left of our democratic process. But for Texans who are really feeling it right now, I mean, they're not able to keep themselves or members of their families warm and safe. And it's a pretty terrifying thing. Once people feel the impact on their personal lives, that's when things get real. And I think that's what we're seeing right now.
That's 100% true. And finally, I just want to say, like, we were focusing on Texas because Texas has generated a lot of like controversy and scandal around this. But obviously, a lot of other states are being hit really hard too. They may not have some of the power problems, but people are dying, like as many people have died in the Northeast as in Texas, at least as of when I checked. So it is really bad outside of there. And if you're in one of these areas, I don't want you to feel like we don't recognize that you're suffering too, just because we're focusing on Texas. You know, our thoughts go out to you as well.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Governor Andrew Cuomo, early on in the pandemic, got a lot of good vibes for his response to the pandemic. And now we're in a very different time because some of what his administration did in regards to apparently covering up thousands of deaths is starting to get more coverage. So let's catch up on some of what's been revealed in the investigations that have apparently been launched. He's facing mounting challenges to his leadership. As state lawmakers threaten to strip him of the power to issue emergency orders, and federal investigators have scrutinized his administration's handling of nursing home data. We found out that the FBI and the US Attorney for the Eastern District of New York have opened an inquiry into his handling of nursing homes during the pandemic. It's not currently known whether the inquiry, which was confirmed by three people familiar with the matter, was focused on him or any individual, only that it's in its earliest stages. Although based on the evidence that's come out so far, that's something to keep your eye on. The investigation moved back into the public spotlight in recent weeks after revelations that Cuomo's administration had given the public and state lawmakers an incomplete accounting of the number of deaths at nursing homes and assisted living facilities. In recent weeks, the administration revealed that 15,000 long-term care residents had died, up from the 8,500 previously disclosed. So let's pause there. That is very, very, very off. That is a huge number of additional deaths. It's not a rounding error. That's not, we forgot to cross our T's. That is a very different overall appearance of how this entire thing was handled. And so I can see why this is becoming such a big scandal for him. That is not a small thing.
I mean, it's a huge thing, but what should have also been huge in terms of backlash and national media coverage was the fact that in the early stages of the pandemic, Governor Cuomo continued to advocate for and succeed in gutting funding for the state's Medicaid system. Cuts to the Medicaid system when a pandemic is ripping across the country and leading to, at this point, 500,000 Americans dying. He couldn't have predicted it would be 500,000 Americans when he did it in the early stages of the pandemic, but it doesn't matter. He knew the pandemic was severe. He knew that there are people in this country, particularly in high cost states like New York, that don't have the means to provide themselves with health insurance. He knows that people are going to lose their employer provided health insurance as a result of closures and layoffs and furloughs. So it's not surprising to me that he did this. Governor Cuomo was never what he was branded as in the beginning of this pandemic. Governor Cuomo has been far more conservative than some of the corporate Democrats that we're highly critical of. So congratulations to waking up to who Cuomo is. This is who he is. Again, that red flag, that was a huge deal in the beginning of the pandemic, and it barely got any attention. The only news organizations that covered it were independent news organizations on the left. Other than that, everyone else was just kind of like applauding him because, sorry, I know I'm going on and on, but I do want to really drive home this point. Because the Trump administration was so awful in responding to the pandemic that his failure, Trump's failure, help to whitewash the failures of governors across the country, particularly Democratic governors like Cuomo. So it's just infuriating when people think that, oh, if we have a president as awful as Trump, that'll make people wake up to the fact that we need someone who champions progressive policies. No, it doesn't work that way. All Trump did was really whitewash some of the horrendous governance that we were complaining about before Trump was even a thought in our minds regarding being in the government, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think also, Trump being so bad might have led some people to believe, oh, he's the problem on governance with the pandemic. Everyone else, therefore, must be much better and trustworthy. And I think that affected how people evaluated things like Cuomo during the early stages of the pandemic. And I think it's also leading some of them to just assume that Biden's gonna do the right thing and we don't need to really keep any tabs on it when that is not necessarily guaranteed. I think you're right that he turned out to be more conservative in this area. I also think he turned out to be far more concerned with his public image. I think he loved the boost to his approval ratings. Dude wrote a book about their handling of the pandemic when thousands of people are still dying every day around the country. Like, maybe you could wait until it's afterward. Like, it's not like, you know, you're halfway up the beaches of Normandy. You're like, oh, I gotta get this down. People are gonna wanna know. Like, no, hold on. We were still dealing with this, buddy. But now if you can publish
you gotta respect the hustle, John. You gotta don't let a good crisis go to waste. Come on.
Exactly, exactly. And then so hiding this information now, they're gonna say, for instance, I'm gonna jump ahead a little bit. A top aide, Melissa DeRosa, was recorded last week admitting that the administration had purposefully withheld the data in the face of an investigation by the Trump Justice Department that it feared would be politicized, that the Justice Department would use this against them. Well, look, I don't know exactly if that's we are worried it'll be used against us, or Cuomo's worried it'll be used against him. But whichever it is, I don't care if you think it's gonna be used against you. It's the truth. How novel that the Trump could be attacking its enemies for things that are accurate and actually happened. You don't get to hide deaths just so Trump will leave you alone. That's not how it works. We need to know how bad it is. So yeah, I'm sure more about this is gonna come out. It looks terrible. What?
No, just one final thing about it. I'm amazed that they thought that that would be a good response or a good excuse, because all it reads to me was, we were very scared of Trump, so we hid the numbers. Like that, oh, you guys are cowards? You guys would rather lie to the American people. You'd rather lie to your constituents than face a tweet from Donald Trump. I mean, it's pretty pathetic, but you're right. Cuomo's only worried about his own image.
Totally. What kind of defense is that? It's like, why did you hide the body? Well, you know, I thought the cops would use it against me. Okay, I get that. I get that train of thought. It's not okay though, and you should keep it to yourself because you sound insane. Anyway, so we're gonna see what's gonna happen with Cuomo. I'm sure that he, up until very recently, probably thought he was gonna come rocketing out of this pandemic and run for president in 4 years. Hopefully, an accurate accounting of what he actually did and didn't do will kneecap those political aspirations, but we'll have to see. Okay, let's jump immediately into our next story. It's a weird one, and we're gonna have more coronavirus related scandals a little bit later on, but this is something that we meant to get to yesterday. It's just crazy, so let's jump into it. If you're watching this show, you're probably well aware of the fact that Tucker Carlson is a massive liar. That's what he does. It was very much on display this week when he was perhaps the biggest cause for the frozen turbines caused Texas's problem lie beginning to spread as much as it has through right-wing media. He just lied about it. He knew that they were lies, but it was convenient to him, so he lied about it. Now, how does someone actually do that? How does someone tell themselves it's okay to have a career where this is what you do? Well, oddly enough, that sort of questioning has been very much on his mind.
But imagine if lying was your job. Imagine forcing yourself to tell lies all day about everything in ways that were so transparent and so outlandish that there is no way the people listening to you could possibly believe anything you said. Then imagine doing that again and again and again every day of your professional life for your entire life. Could you do that?
Could you do that? Could you do that, Tucker? Imagine going on your show and telling your audience exactly what grift you're running. It's almost like a challenge. Like, can I admit it all to my audience and they'll still love me? Well, probably. They're so hoodwinked by this guy that they won't identify that what he's saying CNN does is obviously what he does. But he had that little monologue there mid massive lie. Amidst a variety of other lies about the vaccine and about the election and about Black Lives Matter and about basically everything, this is what he does, as well as one other thing, which we're going to turn to a little bit later on. But Anna, what do you think?
I mean, I think that this is the same as OJ Simpson writing a book titled, like, If I Did It. You know, like, it's just Tucker Carlson kind of like telling on himself. But it's not like his regular viewers are gonna watch that and actually think, oh yeah, this is what Tucker's doing. They trust him. They really think that he's a good guy and they've bought into his propaganda. And you know, he's got that nice little sidebar with all of the other cable news logos and network logos. So all they're gonna see with that segment is fake news. Everyone other than Fox and possibly Newsmax and OAN are awful and they lie to us and they make a living lying to us. But also, like, one thing that stood out to me was how he was talking about individuals who lie and spread propaganda for a living. And he just had like what appeared to be genuine disgust. And I really hope that he has the self-hatred that he should have, considering the lies he knowingly engages in and, you know, doles out on a daily basis with his his show.
Yeah, it maybe. I think it's far more likely that he tells himself that my audience members are the dumbest people in the country. And I know that, like, people, especially conservatives watching this, are probably like, no. He's against the left. He hates the libs and stuff like that. But he doesn't. But is he though? Like, he doesn't have anything to do with leftists or Democrats. They don't watch his show. He doesn't interact with them. The people that he talks to are people that he only lies to, that he has no economic connection to these people. The class distinction, the divide is as big as it could possibly be. Like, I am sure that he has convinced himself that these dumb peasants, I can exploit them as much as I want. They're like, the left doesn't really enter in it. He talks about them, but they have nothing to do with what he's doing. So I think there might be some self loathing, but I think there's a lot more loathing for the people who are receiving that message from him. And I just want to remind people, by the way.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I mean, you can tell by the way he reads his monologues to his audience. He talks to them. He talks at them as if they're children. Yes, exactly.
Now, why would they lie to you? And that is what they're doing. They're lying to you. But why?
Yeah.
Anyway, reminder, in terms of the lying, like, I'm saying that he's a liar. Anna's saying that he's a liar. He seems to be admitting he's a liar. But let's be clear, the Fox News Network wants you to know that he's a liar. Because we can go back to McDougal versus Fox News Network, that famous case that's now being referenced quite a bit, where the judge said, this general tenor of the Tucker Carlson show should then inform a viewer that he's not stating actual facts about the topics he discusses and is instead engaging in exaggeration and non-literal commentary. The judge said, Fox persuasively argues that given Mr. Carlson's reputation, these are all direct quotes from the write-up for the case. This is directly from what the judge wrote. None of this is added. Given Mr. Carlson's reputation, any reasonable viewer arrives with an appropriate amount of skepticism about the statements he makes. Whether the court frames Mr. Carlson's statements as exaggeration, non-literal commentary, or simply bloviating for his audience, the conclusion remains the same. The statements are not actionable because they're not based on anything. That was Fox's defense against a court case. And they apparently successfully argued that nobody who watches Tucker Carlson thinks he's actually telling the truth. But unfortunately, that is maybe a good defense in court. I don't think it's actually true. I think many of his viewers think that he is telling the most truth. And he has successfully hoodwinked people, not just on the right, into thinking that he is some sort of good faith actor that leftists should try to ally with on certain topics, when he is perhaps a bigger liar than anyone else on Fox. Like the whole con of right wing populism and all that, like, everyone should be able to see through it. They should know that it's not actionable. But some people have still been confused about this. You want to go on to something weird, Anna? Let's do
this.
Yes. Tucker Carlson's show is 50% lies, and it's 50%, and I apologize if I'm the one revealing this to you, really, really weird horniness. So I want you to watch this video.
And at the heart of this great American family is a love story. One man, one woman, and the fires of passion that changed the course of our history. Not since Anthony dined with Cleopatra in downtown Antioch, before they killed themselves, obviously, has a country witnessed a love story as moving and poignant as Jill and Joe's. No, ladies and gentlemen, Jill Biden is not Joe's caretaker. She isn't his nurse. She's his fully equal romantic partner. Together, they are like besotted teens, yet at the same time, they are the wise and knowing parents of a nation. As a headline from Politico on Valentine's Day put it, quote, historians and relationship experts agree. The first couple's romantic gestures aren't just genuine, they're restorative. So it's official. The Biden's affection is totally real. It's in no way part of a slick PR campaign devised by cynical consultants determined to hide the president's senility by misdirection. Not at all. Their love is as real as climate change.
Okay. So, Anna, I don't know if you're familiar with the video from like 2 weeks ago of Tucker Carlson talking about sweat on your upper lip as Joe Biden's arms go around you. Like he spent the time between that video and this in horny jail. We put him there. But this is becoming a more and more common thing. It is there. Like what most people don't know about America is there are a lot of elderly conservatives. And I know that we don't like to admit this, but elderly conservatives have sex drives like everyone else, and it's a pandemic. So you have a lot of really, really old, really, really horny people who need entertainment. And Tucker Carlson is tapping into that hardcore, really hardcore, if you know what I mean. But that's what he's doing.
Gosh. You know, it's funny because I kind of read that segment differently. What I got out of it was that Tucker Carlson is experiencing some stuff with his relationship. Like he seems pretty angry and bitter about, you know, the president and the first lady showing some public affection. I mean, I don't care. I don't care. Like even the Melania slapping Trump's hand away stories, like they were funny, but like obviously I don't care. And I don't know what's really going on in their relationship. And I don't think it should even matter, right? So that's my take on all of it. If there's a couple showing PDA, cool. If there's a couple that's married and absolutely hates each other, cool. That's normal too. That's a issue throughout the country. But like Tucker Carlson's rage in that segment stood out to me. Like why he's so cynical and so bitter about relationships and public affection. Like,
yeah,
I don't know, Tucker, maybe you're overworking. Maybe you need to take a nice long break and, you know, try to work things out with your wife. I don't know. It just seemed a little too personal for him.
Maybe it's personal. Maybe it's just like he wants to always pretend that he's at arm's length from Trump. He's not Sean Hannity. He's not doing like pillow time talk with Trump. And yet, he's acting like the stories about Melania being mad that people like Jill Biden. He's acting like he's jealous of the positive coverage of Joe and Jill Biden's relationship. Which by the way, like to some extent, the thing about this slick PR thing, no, I don't think it's a PR team, but I do think there are people who want to present it as, you know, they're way too excited to see a couple that actually likes each other, sure. But maybe it's just kind of a natural thing where like, we had for 4 years, whether it's interesting or not, and I agree with you. I don't lose a lot of sleep over the fact that Melania and Trump don't sleep together. But like after 4 years of that, seeing a couple that actually seems to give a damn about each other is interesting. Maybe we could spend a couple of weeks being like mildly amused by that. But he can't, Tucker can't. He is infuriated by the fact that the media seems to prefer this couple that likes each other to the couple that mainly communicate via payoffs to porn stars that they've slept with. Like, but he wants to pretend that people having a preference between those two, this guy that like talks about family values and all that so much, it's insane to have a preference for that. But anyway,
yeah, that preference stretches across different professions that are considered, you know, public figures. Like even among celebrities, people love to swoon over a couple that is in love. Like remember when Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck were engaged and they like seemed to be like super in love with each other and super like affectionate. And everyone's like, oh, it's a perfect couple. Oh my God, I wish I had a boyfriend like that. I wish I had a fiance like that. Like, that's what the news was kind of like consumed with. And then when there were some rumors about Ben cheating on Jen, oh no, what's gonna happen? Then everyone like started picking a side, and it was a much more angry time in celebrity gossip news. So it's just, it's people love to see other people in love, except for Tucker Carlson, apparently.
Exactly. And you know, I know there's probably a significant portion of the audience that doesn't care what anyone in right-wing media is talking about. I apologize, you're not gonna like these parts of the show, but I think media criticism has been a part of TYT from the very beginning. We care what the other side is saying, what they're not saying, how they're manipulating their audience, because that has political effects. So I'm not gonna stop doing it. So if you don't like that, just stop watching, I guess. But I do wanna point out though, that this segment of Tucker Carlson and the other thing about Joe Biden's arms and stuff, like for people who don't watch it, what you may be missing about this is that Tucker Carlson is in one way the most watched person in media or whatever, and like a political cable news show. But I wanna be very clear, his show is not a news show. It really isn't. Those sorts of segments, that is what he does. He does these weird monologues that aren't really about anything. Certainly nothing that's happening economically. He's not doing like, let's take stock of the state of the pandemic. He's not doing segments like this. Like the most substantive segments he do are like something about how someone got canceled, or that there's a transgender student playing sports. His show is ostensibly a news show. It has lower thirds and stuff, but it doesn't have anything to do with the news or the state of the country. It is effectively, for my whole audience, they get to watch me be an a-hole. So I'm gonna be an a-hole to trans people, and then I'm gonna be an a-hole to Jill Biden, who I'm gonna mock for being a doctor. That is really all it is. You're tuning in to hear him sort of speak weirdly and lustily about the news and get mad, and that's really it. And that's important because he is the biggest of all of those. And so I just want people to understand that. This is the biggest conservative news show, and it has nothing to do with the news, but that is what is selling better than anything else. As we covered on the show earlier this week, at his first presidential town hall, President Joe Biden made explicit Tuesday night that he favors modest student loan debt relief over the ambitious proposal that his progressive base and party leaders in the Senate are demanding. So that's at $10,000 rather than $50,000. And if you thought that was bad, wait for this. On Wednesday, his White House suggested that even that modest package may not happen. Speaking to reporters at the Daily Briefing Wednesday, the White House press secretary said Biden planned to hold off on making any decisions on student loan debt executive action until his appointees at the Justice Department have a chance to review the issue. There's no immediate time frame on that legal review process, which will happen alongside a review by Biden's domestic policy advisors. And so there's more, but even the $10,000, which he could have signed the first moment of his presidency, he could do it right now if he wanted to. He could be a little bit late for lunch and get it signed. Even that, they're not ready to do. And it might take weeks, it might take months. Maybe people forget about it. Maybe it never happens at all, Anna.
I think that it's highly likely that it doesn't happen at all. I think there's a very clear reason for why Biden, especially over the last week, has seemed to waver on some of his campaign promises. The very campaign promises that made him seem at least a tiny bit better than what we experienced under the Obama administration. And obviously, look, the Trump administration was a complete and utter disaster. But what was frustrating about Obama was his willingness to entertain austerity, his willingness to focus all of his economic policy on helping corporations and the wealthiest people recover from their economic losses from the Great Recession. And what we're seeing from Biden now is him wavering on things like the $15 an hour minimum wage and also canceling student loan debt. Because just last week he met with corporate CEOs in the White House as the impeachment trial was taking place. He also received a letter from the US Chamber of Commerce, as did members of Congress, arguing that the approach to the coronavirus relief package needs to be a much more targeted approach, a much more measured approach, and that $15 an hour would be complete and utter devastation for companies and restaurants. And so, I mean, just connect the dots, guys. At the end of the day, when it comes to the best interests of the American people, all of that really pales in comparison to the corporate executives and the corporate donors who really run this country. I mean, at this point, when I look at most politicians, all I see is a face to the corporations that really control what goes on in this country. And Joe Biden is not only sealing the deal on his legacy, which will be an awful one, but he is driving this country deeper and deeper into absolute lunacy, because I guarantee you, someone a little more clever than Donald Trump and someone certainly more fascistic than Donald Trump will have an easier time getting elected if Biden continues to deepen the economic anxieties that people are facing today. The unwillingness to do something that would be so easy to do, but also something that would make Biden the most popular president in a long time, possibly since FDR. If he canceled all federal student loan debt, he would be the most popular president by far. And I guarantee you that some of these Trump zealots might even reconsider who has their loyalty, because I mean, it would just improve so many people's lives. And it's unbelievable that Biden refuses to do it. It's absolutely disgusting.
Well, if they are actually being affected by economic anxiety, then yes, that should go a long way to changing their opinion. I mean, everything that you said there was obviously so on point that I think you covered it. I'm gonna move on to the next level of how bad this is. And I don't even know exactly, I'm gonna read you a graphic, and it's a sentence and all the words are in the right order, but I don't know exactly what it means. White House officials said Wednesday that Biden's reference to writing off $10,000 of loan forgiveness was not meant as a descriptor for executive action, but to reflect his endorsement of achieving that goal through legislation, which he has not yet proposed. I don't know what are you talking about? He says, I want 10,000, not 50. Because I can't legally do that. Now, that makes sense. It's wrong. That makes sense as a wrong argument for why he can't do it through executive action, because maybe he's convinced himself that he could do 10,000, but not 50 through the stroke of a pen. But if he's not talking about executive action, if he's talking about legislation, then what is the, it can't be 50 because that's illegal stuff? But you're saying Congress can't do it because it would still be illegal? What are you talking about? And you 100%, well, you could do both, but you 100% could do the 10,000 through executive action. So you want to go through an entire legislative process for that, which would be totally needless, without getting rid of the filibuster, would be impossible for it to actually pass, would take up a ton of time. And even if we initiated that legislative process, you're saying something more than 10,000 can't be on the drawing, like on the negotiating table, because it's illegal in some way. I don't know what any of that it means. Does he not know if he's talking about executive action or legislation? Does he not know what the law is? Or is he hoping that we're gonna be so thrilled by the fact that Trump isn't here that we're gonna ignore all of this?
I just think he's lying. I just think his heart isn't into it. I don't think he really cares about canceling any student loan debt. This is the man who has contributed significantly to making student loan debt as bad as it is. He's the one who authored and successfully passed the bankruptcy bill. And that is the reason why students are unable to ever discharge their student loan debt. I mean, by the way, here's something that also doesn't get talked about enough. Right now, as we speak, Betsy DeVos is facing a lawsuit by students who had been defrauded by for-profit colleges. Their student loan debt was supposed to be forgiven as a result of this giant investigation that found that Corinthians colleges had defrauded all of these students. And so the Obama administration, its education department, was to stop collecting student loan debt payments from those students who had been defrauded, and their debt was supposed to be canceled. But that happened in the tail end of the Obama administration. And then we had, unfortunately, Betsy DeVos, who continued to collect those federal student loans, even though she wasn't supposed to. She was found in contempt of court because a federal judge ordered her and the education department to stop collecting those payments. She refused. So now she's facing a lawsuit. And guess what Biden's Justice Department is doing? Biden's Justice Department has stepped in to prevent Betsy DeVos from having to be deposed as part of that lawsuit. They are protecting Betsy DeVos and giving her the opportunity to avoid having to provide a deposition for this lawsuit. It's disgusting. So there are all sorts of things happening with the Biden administration right now that are coming to light, but there's even more once you scratch beneath the surface.
Exactly. Exactly. And thankfully, there's a lot of good people that are pushing him to do, well, I would say do more, but now do anything. I mean, when AOC and Chuck Schumer are pushing you, and you could do it right now, like he could do it in a minute if he wanted to. If he doesn't do this, like it's like you were saying, like it's one thing, like if he deepens people's problems, but if he has an easy opportunity to make a good portion of them go away and chooses not to, then not only will the American people be incredibly angry with him, but they should be. They really should be. He should suffer electorally as a result of that. Okay, we're gonna push into this story, and then once we're done with this last corrupt individual, we have a quick update, breaking update to a story we talked about earlier that I'm gonna give you. But first, let's talk about another of the worst people in America. Governor Ron DeSantis and his conduct during the pandemic has been horrific from the very beginning. He hasn't taken it seriously. He's tried to create massive exemptions very early on for huge businesses to continue to operate. He was photographed demonstrating that he doesn't know how masks work, and he tried to restart as quick as possible. Now that we have a vaccine, he's still finding new ways to be horrible. He's now facing questions over his decision to provide seniors living in but basically planned communities with early access to the vaccine, seemingly as a result of massive donations that have been given to him. So this is Lakewood Ranch. This is a planned community in Southwest Florida. Has family ties to Liz and Dick Uline. The New York Times dubbed the pair the most powerful conservative couple you've never heard of. Those couples' list of political contributions include 900,000 given to DeSantis in 2018 and 2019. Now look, we talk about politicians getting big donations. That is a massive amount of money for one couple to give to a governor over the course of just 2 years, $900,000. That is like, that's presidential primary money from billionaires. That's a huge sum. Now, he is saying that these concerns about favoritism, not a big deal. Take a look at how he defended himself.
But look, I mean, if Manatee County doesn't like us doing this, then we are totally fine with putting this in counties that want it. And we're totally happy to do that. So anyone that's saying that, let us know. If you want us to send to Sarasota next time, or Charlotte, or Pasco, or wherever, let us know. We're happy to do it. But I think most people, if we have an opportunity to bring vaccines and do it efficiently, I think that they're gonna want it. And so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's nothing to do with the donations or anything. It's the county is mad at him, is the way he's presenting it. Not that one particular planned community is getting it in the county. And it's not just DeSantis. I saw a headline on, I forget if it was Raw Story Media. It was media scrambles to figure out why they're mad at DeSantis, that he's giving it, that he's taking it away. No. It's that he's giving it to a very particular micro-targeted community connected to incredibly wealthy donors. Not that someone in that county is getting it. And him then saying, if you criticize any of our decisions, we're gonna take it out of the entire county. That is just a threat. It's not even a particularly veiled one, Anna. He's basically saying, if you criticize any of our decisions, your whole county might not have access to the vaccine. And remember, it's all being done by the states. They can't appeal to Biden over this if a county gets blacklisted from the vaccine. So this is absolutely horrendous.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And one thing that's really stood out to me over the last week regarding news coverage surrounding DeSantis is that more and more Republican lawmakers have kind of been pitching him to the American people as a possible 2024 presidential pick in the Republican Party. They're encouraging him to run. And let's just be aware that Ron DeSantis is, I mean, absolutely awful. And he's just, he's another version of Trump, possibly someone who's a little more, I mean, I was gonna say a little more clever, but I mean, DeSantis, we all saw him attempt to put a mask on. I mean, the guy is certainly struggling. But as we know, stupidity doesn't necessarily hinder absolute cruelty. And that's what he's doing right now in the state of Florida.
Yeah. 100%. We actually were playing that video while you were saying that. He has no idea. And you know why you wouldn't have an idea of how to put on a mask on camera? When you haven't been regularly putting on a mask and it's suddenly a new thing that you have to do. If I had to put on roller skates right now, it would take me a couple minutes because I haven't been doing it every time I go outside. That's a weird metaphor. Anyway,
it is.
Okay, so really fast. I just want to do this quick update for just a couple of minutes and then we're going to let Anna go. And a heads up again, if you are one of our tier three members on YouTube or if you become one, maybe upgrade your membership. In almost exactly 1 hour, we're going to be doing our second monthly live Q&A conversation. So you'll have access to that. But first this, and nobody knows what I'm about to throw to. Apologies to the producers. Ted Cruz has been getting,
I knew it too though. I'm like, it's gotta be an update on Ted Cruz. And they took a risk and you know what? I like it. I like it.
They did it. Okay. Respect is due. Okay, let's see if you can get it back up fast. Nice. Okay. Ted Cruz has been receiving a lot of condemnation for jetting off to Cancun when his entire state is frozen. Now he has put out a statement. And I and Anna Kasparian are going to evaluate whether this is a good enough explanation for why he did what he did. Statement from Ted Cruz. This has been an infuriating week for Texans. The greatest state in the greatest country in the world has been without power. We have food lines, gas lines, and people sleeping at their neighbors' houses. Our homes are freezing and our lights are out. Like millions of Texans, our family lost heat and power too. With school canceled for the week, our girls asked to take a trip with friends. Wanting to be a good dad, I flew down with them last night.
And come on.
Hold, Anna. Hold. We'll adjudicate. Justice Kasparian will be in session, but hold on. Wanting to be a good dad, I flew down with them last night and am flying back this afternoon. My staff and I are in constant communication with state and local leaders to get to the bottom of what happened in Texas. No, seriously. I've got like a Mai Tai in one hand and my smartphone in the other. We want our power back, our water on, and our homes warm. My team and I will continue using all resources to keep Texans informed and safe. Anna, is that good enough?
Okay, first of all, not only is it not good enough, but come on, Rick, he will throw any family member under the bus for his political career. Any family member, even his own children. He's so disgusting. God, like he's a pig. Like only a pig would do something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. If anyone buys that, I get it. We can have disagreements politically, okay? We might have different solutions to the very serious problems this country is facing. Might disagree on policy and all that. But we have to agree as Americans, which should bind us as true Americans, true believers in our Constitution and everything America stands for, is the fact that Ted Cruz is a pig. Like we should all be able to agree on that. Especially after he tried to use his own children to make an excuse for abandoning his home state to go on a beach vacation in Cancun. Come on.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, that's one of the older B-rolls, so it's not going to fit as much. But we've already adjudicated that he's in fact not a pig, Anna. He's a possum face loser. But anyway, yeah, he just threw his kids under the bus. He's like, they made me do it. They made me do it. Or alternatively, it's like, I mean, what did you want me to do? Be a bad dad? Well, here's my evaluation for what makes you a bad dad. When you're apparently okay with your girls taking international plane flights during a pandemic, that's still bad. That does, it's not like, oh, I thought he was abandoning the state just because he's an evil loser. I didn't know he was abandoning the state because he's an evil loser with kids. That's not better. That's just as bad, Ted Cruz. You still suck. We've adjudicated it. Anyway, Anna, thank you for joining us on the Damage Report. We try not to ask you too often because you're one of the busiest people in this entire industry, but there's nothing we love more than having you on the show.
I love doing it. Thank you for having me and thank you to your audience.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.